This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller with Charlie Long now welcoming Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, into the radio huddle. Jeff, how you doing today, man?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Doing all right. I should have saved some of those sliders and brought them to the studio with me because I'm hungry now.
Yeah, you know, I'm one of those people that, like, in that moment, I'm like, man, I don't want to overeat. But then,
exactly.
Like, 4 hours later, I'm like, oh, man, I regret not eating, like, six more of those. Yeah.
That and the wings, too. I only had three. I could have definitely dove into much more of that. That was an awesome display they put out for us. I appreciate that from the Saints. But into more important things that the fans actually care about is, you know, getting to meet and greet the Saints' entire coaching staff for the first time. Just wondering your first impressions of, you know, getting to, you know, kind of go around in a speed dating kind of situation where we had little venues where we're off to the side with all these different coaches and, you know, some familiar faces back in the mix too, but obviously a lot of new guys and some Philly influences definitely with this coaching staff in New Orleans now.
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting scene because like you said, there were several faces, you know, that were there. That was like, yeah, I recognize that guy, but it's kind of this new vibe. Like Adam Gristic, who's now the assistant linebackers coach, I talked to him at the Senior Bowl, and it was kind of funny because he was just like, yeah, I have no idea whether I'm going to have a job in a few weeks. And I talked to him today, and I asked him, I was like, so how honest were you being in that moment? Were you like, did you really have no idea? He was like, dude, I have no clue. You know, he didn't have any connection with Peter Sermon, who's the new linebackers coach. So it just kind of came to be like, hey, I have this job. And he appreciated that because, you know, his wife's 7 months pregnant and so their second daughter. So he's like, we didn't really want to move. So it's kind of a good opportunity for him to stay here. Obviously, he's done some really good work in that linebacker room, some really good linebacker development. Just in general, you know, it kind of had a fresh vibe to it, right? Like, this isn't what happened when Dennis Allen took over. This isn't what happened when he rebuilt the offensive staff in year two or in year three or the defensive staff in year two. It was kind of, hey, we're going to just roll from one season into the next. And, you know, it's going to be something different. Like, we're going to have a new offense. We're going to have a new, you know, defensive vibe. But it isn't this complete tonal shift from one regime to the next. The way today kind of signaled that it would be, and you kind of get that vibe from the people in the room. Like, everyone in there is excited. Now, this is the time to be excited. Nothing bad has happened yet to be upset about. But that's kind of the vibe. Like, talking to Brandon Staley for the first time, like, he's a really intriguing guy, and when you listen to him talk, you can really appreciate, okay, this guy was a head coach in the NFL, right? Like, there's certain guys in that room that you feel really can command that room a lot more than others, and you kind of get an idea of, okay, well, that's why this guy got a head coaching job. That's why he's at the top of the ladder for defensive coordinator jobs, and some of these guys are still working their way up the ladder. But, no, I mean, I really like the vibe that Kellen has kind of created. I really appreciate the Saints for giving us that access today. It's not something it's not something I've experienced in the past. I don't know if they've done it way back when they hired Sean Payton's staff for the first time. I couldn't tell you whether that happened then. But it was a really good opportunity to kind of get the pulse of everything going on in that room.
Yeah, I was definitely looking forward to, you know, getting to hear from Brandon Staley, his thoughts, you know, about joining the Saints staff, had glowing things to say about the city and Kellen Moore. But just overall, curious on, you know, what kind of direction he has this defense going. Obviously, we know they need to improve a lot of areas up front. They did a little retooling already, bringing in former LSU standout defensive tackle Davin Godchow to the mix here. And then curious to see, you know, we keep hearing about the switch to a 3-4 defense, but I feel like Staley wouldn't completely commit to that, saying they're going to be more flexible and kind of have leave their options open depending on what this roster, how it shakes out.
Yeah, you know, we're really early on in this process, and that's why, you know, today I didn't bug a lot of these guys with really specific questions about, oh, what's this going to be? Because, like, a lot of the questions don't have answers right now.
Right.
Right? Like, a lot of what Brandon Staley is going to bring in, and this is what he talked about, and I'll get to more in a second, but, like, it's going to be based on the personnel. It's going to be based on who's in the building. And I do think it's funny. Like, I asked Brandon about this today. He was Kellen Moore's boss 2 years ago. He was the head coach with the Chargers, and Kellen Moore was his offensive coordinator. 2 years later, Kellen Moore is the head coach of the Saints, and Brandon Staley is the defensive coordinator. And he said it's not awkward at all, like, because they know each other so well, they agree on so many things, like their leadership styles are so similar that they work really well together. And, you know, if that's true, great. It is, like, I think he's downplaying the weirdness that could be in play there. And so, like, for so many people put in that scenario, like, if suddenly a guy who was your boss is now your subordinate, and it's not a weird thing at all, I think if that's the case, it does speak to the working relationship there. And hopefully, if that is the case, they can hit the ground running. But like you were talking about with the 3-4-4-3 thing, Brandon Staley is a 3-4 guy, right? He comes from the Vic Fangio tree. You're going to see those elements in this defense. That's why you went out and got I need to learn how to say his name correctly. I've been saying Godchow forever. It's Godchow, based on his Twitter handle, right? And so, you know, you brought him in because he's a nose tackle, because he can play that role, and it's really not something that you've had on this defense. So you needed to find somebody who could fill that role in base personnel. But from there, I do think that you're going to see this defense play to its strengths, play to its personnel's strengths, be versatile, and that's what Brandon talked about. It's what Kellen talked about, you know, more so than being specific. This is what we do. This is what our defense does. It's going to be, hey, how do we need to play to win this week? And one thing that Kellen really likes about Brandon Staley's defense is it's versatile. You can do a lot of different things within it. So you can combat all these different types of offenses that you're going to face week in, week out. That's the problem when you look at a defense and you say, okay, what is this defense? Well, it's this scheme. It's a, you know, an even front. It does this. You press man. Well, that's great against in certain matchups, right? But what about the matchups it's not great against? Can you adjust and play differently against teams that force you to do different things? And I think that's what when you kind of simmer down, you know, boil down what Brandon Staley's defensive philosophy is. It's not so much, hey, we religiously do this. We religiously do this. Now you're going to have rules. You're going to have things you have to do. But the priority of his defense is to be able to mix and match and figure out the best scheme every week to beat the opponent on the table. And, you know, I think that's something that he's gotten into trouble with in the past because it does get a little too complicated. At a certain point, you just want to be able to do one thing really well and win that way. But I think, you know, they're just kind of leaning into this versatility element of that defense. And I'm interested to see where they go with it, how they adjust the personnel to match that. But you know, I don't think they're going to be able to do a ton outside of drafting a bunch of guys. Like, I don't think you're going to see them go crazy in free agency. They haven't really done much yet. Paulson Adebo is gone. He's with the Giants. He signed today. We haven't seen the Saints linked to anybody yet. I would be surprised if they're tripping over themselves to get into the market early. I do think they're going to make some moves, but they're not in any rush to do it. And it's all going to come down to, okay, what do you need to run this scheme the way you want to run it? And that's something Brandon Staley and Kellen Moore are going to have to figure out.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes. You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes.
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Big news, obviously, over the weekend was the Saints restructuring quarterback Derek Carr's contract. Much to the dismay, sadly, of most Houdats out there. But, you know, we just talked to the Cajun Cannon last hour. He still believes that Carr gives this team the best opportunity to win next season, whether folks want to believe that or not. But what are your thoughts of just another year of Derek Carr in the mix here? And it seems we'll be battling it out again between Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener as the backups.
Yeah, I think the disconnect for me in the Derek Carr conversation is it's so much driven by, I just don't like this guy. And I'm not saying me personally, I'm just saying that's kind of the sentiment out there is right. Like, hey, a lot of people just don't like Derek Carr. It's not about the play on the field, but people have convinced themselves that because they don't like the quarterback's playing badly. And that's the problem is he hasn't played badly by any measurable statistic. He's not playing badly by any objective metric. He's not playing badly. The guy's completed 68.8% of his passes since being here. Now, granted, he's been hurt. He's been dealing with injuries. That's not QB play. That's just unfortunate, right? He's thrown 40 touchdowns against 13 interceptions. I think any quarterback in the NFL, you would sign on for a 3-to-1 touchdown interception ratio. He started 10 games last year. He was sacked 8 times. In the 6.5 quarters that Spencer Rattler played, give or take one or two, he was sacked 22 times. So that kind of gives you a picture of he was avoiding sacks that were being taken when he was not on the field. He's a solid quarterback. Is he a great quarterback? No. I mean, I think we can all agree on that. This is not a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, but he's being paid as the 16th best quarterback in the NFL, and I would argue that that's exactly where he is. And so if I'm Kellen Moore and I'm walking in the building, I'm saying, hey, I'm not interested in walking into a scenario where I'm going to lose 14 games where my ceiling is 5 wins. Like, I'm not interested in that. So who gives me the best chance to win? It's going to be Derek Carr. Now, I know a lot of people out there would have preferred if maybe he would have taken a pay cut, maybe he would have worked with the team on some sort of reworked contract to make the job easier around him. I think if Derek was worried about PR, if he was worried about people liking him, he would have done that. That's probably my biggest criticism of Derek and how he's handled himself is I don't think he's done enough. He's made enough of an effort to make inroads and get people to like him. And maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's leaning into the villain arc. You know, maybe this is the Dark Knight Rises. You know, maybe the hero we need versus the hero we have. You know, that sort of thing. I don't know. Like at the end of the day, for Derek, he's kind of painted himself into a corner, and that corner is either you win games, or you are despised. right? Either you go out there and you play really good football, or there are no redeeming qualities. And, you know, it's a tough place to be. I wouldn't want to be in that situation. I probably would have made more of an effort to you know, fix that. Maybe it wouldn't have worked, but I probably would have tried. Either way, this was always the likeliest scenario. I don't think the Saints had a ton of options. And the option they chose, the road they chose, was the road where the quarterback that they're investing a lot of money in this season is the quarterback on their roster, which the alternative scenario was you're paying that quarterback either way, but you're paying him to leave. And I don't think the Saints had any interest in doing that. So that's kind of where you are. You have Derek Carr. He's your quarterback. Now, is there any lingering thing going on in that whole situation? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. He's been very quiet. We haven't heard a peep, really, right, from Derek all offseason, which is different from last year. Last year, he was a little more out there. He was making a point to be more out there. That has not been the case this year. So we'll see. You know, maybe he reemerges at some point. Last year, he was at that golf event with Drew Brees. Maybe that's a thing he does again. But, you know, just you strap in. You got at least one more year, in my opinion, of Derek coming out.
So, Jeff, at this point, you're still $7 million over the cap via overthecap.com. The restructure of Derek Carr lowered his cap number to $20 million. This does include all the latest moves as well with Devon Gotcho and everything. You're still $7.1 million over, so what do you kind of anticipate happening next?
Well, it was reported that Nathan Shepard, I think Josina Anderson had that, that he's going to get a one-year extension. And, you know, one of the reasons you do that is he was going to count $7 million against the cap this upcoming season. So you should be able to lower that number. I don't know exactly how much, but that'll take a bite out of that. Mike Triplett from New Orleans Football, he reported that DeMario Davis is probably going to get restructured. So that'll be about $6 million. So I'd imagine those two moves alone would get you there. And then from that, you know, if those are the moves you choose to execute now, or you wait and do those later to free up space for your draft picks for any free agents, it doesn't really matter. But you also have Cesar Ruiz, which is a kind of a no-brainer restructure that'll probably happen. You know, a guy in his mid-20s who's going to be part of this picture for a while. Carl Granderson is the other guy who feels like a likely restructure, but it really depends on whether you think he fits what you want to be doing on defense. Because if you don't, then maybe he becomes a trade candidate more so than a restructure candidate, because his contract is still kind of clean to the level that you wouldn't really have a hugely difficult time moving him in terms of the money. So that's just something to keep in mind. But from a cap perspective, I mean, you're going to knock it out tomorrow, probably. I'd be surprised if they take it all the way down to Wednesday. And from there, it's going to be, okay, how active do you want to be in free agency? How much do you need to clear to bring in a few veteran players? Who are you going to target? I would expect the Saints to be kind of in this second wave of free agents. They don't typically operate in the first wave. Everyone freaks out when they don't. You see all these signings, like, where are the Saints? They're twiddling their thumbs. This is what they do. They just take their time. But I think that the cap is really not the issue at this point. Once you made the decision to stick with Derek Carr and restructure that deal, it became very uncomplicated for this year. Now, it'll be complicated next year, but that $30 million really kind of solved that problem for you.
Definitely appreciate the time, Jeff. I hope you have a great evening, and be talking to you soon on the Inside Black and Gold podcast. Take it easy, my man.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good one.
Saints sideline reporter and WWL's digital content producer, Jeff Nowak, joining us there.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.